This verse should mean a lot to us this morning. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. What does that mean to you and me today? Do we have some things God can't forgive? But to have them nailed to his cross and I bear it no more, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. That just came to me as we were singing, How Great Thou Art. Just a little portion of a song can speak to us sometimes. And well, I desire your prayers that the Lord will bless us here this morning. I cannot thank the Lord enough for giving me a touch.
Thank the Lord.
I generally don't have pain in the morning. If I'm going to have pain, it'll be in the afternoon or evening. But the Lord has certainly proved himself to me another time, and I thank him for that. A few Sundays ago, actually it was our last Zoom service in the middle of January, we had a message that was entitled, The Path and the Armor. And we called that message a preparatory message. But this morning, I would like to continue with part of that message on the path. Appreciated so much the Sunday school lesson this morning. It sort of went along with our thoughts. I love it when the Lord does that. So encouraging. Yes. But I have a title, and I'm going to call it The Path of Life. So I want to say that we are all, does it matter who we are? God has a custom design for each one of us. Oh, it's the path of life has to do with our salvation. That's common. Our sanctification, all that belongs to God, he has for all of us, but he knows you and me individually. He knows everything about us. He knows our personality. And we've tried to bring this out in some of the previous little messages. We are created, and he knew us before we were born. And so he has a path for each one of us. And I put down here that God is the author. One scripture says he's the author and finisher of our faith. Yes. Well, I believe he wants to be the author and finisher of our path in this life. He's the designer, the planner, and I put down he's the architect.
That's right.
So that's what we want to think about a little bit today, and that God has a plan for each one of our lives, and that each of us has a story. I'm thinking about a scripture that has been used at funerals, but it can be used this morning too, and it's in Psalms 90:9, and just a portion of that scripture says, we spend our years as a tale that is told. Well, we don't really think about, we're writing chapters, God's writing chapters. He's ordering our path day by day, year by year. Events come into our life. We change. We mature. We grow into our middle years. I look around and I love it when I see those that were once young maturing. I love it. I see them, their families are growing and they're developing, and it's part of life, and God is the design of it all, and He wants to put the things in our life that we have an expected end. So your life is like a tale that is being told, and it's not finished. It's not finished until it is over.
That's right.
And so when we present this thought at a funeral, most people are looking back over a person's life. I remember Lorinda used a little thought when she gave the obituary for Lauren's funeral. And it was from a poem, I suppose, called The Dash. And how that from that beginning date of a child's birth until the end, there's a dash in between on the stone. And it represents so much in a person's life. Certainly we hope that God has been in all of our dash. So I'm going to say this morning that God is, He knows how to write our story. I'm thinking also of a scripture that I gave in another message recently, I think last Sunday really. And David said this, and we're still talking about the path. Teach me thy way and lead me in a plain path. And certainly this morning, I believe every one of us desire to have a clear vision. And that sort of went along with our Sunday school lesson this morning and the influences, good and bad, down through our life and how we react to it, how we either reject or accept. Those people that have gone before us that have been good examples. You know, I look back over my life, and you've heard me say this different times, that when I was a child, that I said in my heart, when I grow up, I want to be a saint all the way. Now, what did that mean? Well, it meant that I had seen some people that weren't. Even as a child, I saw that. And there was something in my heart. I wanted to be a saint all the way. Well, when I came to that place that I could choose that, I didn't. And so for the first 30 years of my life, it was not exactly a balanced, strong spiritual life. You would think it would have been because of my desire as a child, but it wasn't. God had to write something in my story. And He had to put some things into my life. And He had to bring me to a place.
Yes, thank the Lord.
And there came a time that I made that choice, never to give up again. Thank the Lord. And I have never given up. So God has been gracious unto me, and He is gracious unto you.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. There's another scripture from Proverbs, the third chapter, and we've already used it. I'm going to paraphrase it too. And it says, if we acknowledge God, if we acknowledge the one that is guiding us on this path, if we acknowledge the one that is even the planner, He's the planner for your life. Something was said in Sunday school about He looks down further. He knows everything that's out before us.
Yes.
He does. I don't. You don't. We don't have the privilege to know what's going to happen tomorrow. You might say in your mind, well, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to go to work and I'm going to do this and I've got this appointment. And so, no, that's only temporary thoughts. Tomorrow, we know not what a day will bring forth. So if we acknowledge God in all of our ways, we can trust Him to direct our path, to order our steps, to know what is best for me, to put the things in my life that is exactly right for me. Now, what's right for me and right for you won't be the same thing necessarily. There may be common experiences. We may say, well, I went through this, so I know what you're going through. We may have that. But overall, God knows what to put in my life to help me make heaven. Thank the Lord. I'm so glad, because I don't know how to get there on my own. So I want to also read a couple of little statements that I did in a previous message. And it was what God said to Adam and Eve. And this has just been a continued burden of my heart in the last few messages, and it's continuing today. But God said to the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Not going to go into the details of what that is. You understand that sin was unleashed when Adam and Eve fell, when they had the knowledge of good and evil. It opened that Pandora's box, and you and I have known only a world of evil, good and evil. We have knowledge of the good things, thank the Lord, but we have knowledge of evil also. But he also said to Adam the same thing, in sorrow shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So sorrow and suffering was just simply common to man from that point to this day, and there will not be one person in this world that will escape it. That sounds so negative. I know that sounds negative, but I want you to bear with this thought. That's the reason. It was the sin that was unleashed in the garden. And that's why you and I have the battles that we have, and we have the trials and the tests and the burdens and the cares and the sickness and disease and whatever comes under sorrow is what was unleashed and is part of our life. But God uses it. He didn't just put them out there and forget about them. And he doesn't put you and me on the path of life and forget about us, does he? No, he's very, the scripture says he's very mindful of man. He knows exactly what will help you. You know, we read this, you've probably read it too. Speaking of storms, it says that it really makes a tree stronger. That the wind and the storm that comes against a tree deepens the roots. Well, if God intended for that to be in nature, does he not have some wise intention for the storms of your life? The hurts, the wounds, and the sorrow, and the grief, and the disappointments, and whatever you want to put under that category. Is it for naught? Is it for nothing? Or does he want it to deepen you down? Does he want your roots to get really established? I believe that's what he wants. I look back and I know, and you know too, every one of us could probably testify to some hard thing in our life and come get past it, and you will say, I learned lessons I could not have learned any other way. Anybody here not learned any lessons in the way God brought it into your life? I believe that God wants us to learn our lessons. Are we in a school? Is the path of life a school? We're in a school. We're learning. And I said a little bit ago, we're changing. Actually, that makes me think of the song that Holly has sang here several times. I'm changing. I'm growing. I hope I'm not the same person that you used to see. That's the plan of God. He's not going to leave you. And I used a term, maybe last Sunday, I'm not sure. They're all getting mixed up, but I don't believe God takes us to a plateau and leaves us. I believe it's ever onward and ever upward. And it's ever fighting the good fight of faith, thank the Lord. So sorrow was to be in their lives from then on. So another scripture that I used was in Job, the 14th chapter, verse 22. And I just grabbed out part of those words to sink down in our hearts and speak to us. And it says, flesh shall have pain and his soul shall mourn. I really meant to do something, and I just simply slipped my mind. Maybe it wasn't necessary for today, but you know our little concordance that has words that are in our songs? And how many... I really would like to know, and I might still do this when I go home, how many words would fall under the category of sorrow and suffering? The majority of our songs are about sorrow and suffering and battles and trials and victories. And the writers had to go through something in order to know to write it. So all of those that have come before us, did they just get to heaven on flowery beds of ease and everything went their way forever? It didn't happen. And it's not going to happen for us. So let's face reality. So I don't know how many words, but I tell you another thing. You can just judge the word of God. How much is in here about the smooth path? I don't know of anyone that had a smooth path all the way. And it doesn't matter. If you're saved and a Christian, or if you're a sinner and you're wicked, there's going to be trouble and sorrow and grief. The great benefit that you and I have is that we have Jesus. We're not in it alone. The poor man out there. How many times have you gone through something and you say, if I didn't have the Lord, what would I do? If it wasn't for the Lord, tell me, what would I do? Well, on our path, he's walking with us. He's walking sometimes before us. And he's sometimes walking behind us. But he's there with us. When the children of Israel were leaving, and what was it, were they alone? No, they knew the presence of the Lord was with them in the cloud and in the pillar of fire. What a comfort. When you're in trouble, stop and think, is Jesus with me still? Do I feel his holy presence? I want to tell you, he's there. Whether we feel him or not. Job even said it. I don't feel him over here. I don't feel him over there. I don't feel him in this place or that place. but he knows the way that I take. Let that be our resolve. He knoweth the way that I take. Thank the Lord. So, one more scripture that I gave you a portion of, and it's a familiar scripture, Psalms 23. Though I walk through, and I left it blank, because what you walk through and what I walk through are going to be different things. But we can still claim this. You can put whatever you're going through, the name right there. Though I walk through this place, I will fear nothing because you're with me. Take the word and pull out some of these words and apply them in your life. Oh, I know what that scripture says, and you know what that scripture says. But we're going to go through many things before we leave this world. And not all of them are going to be in the shadow of death. It's going to be various events coming into our life and affecting us. You remember, you only can serve one master. And there's one master that is vying for your attention and my attention, trying to distract us from our path.
Yes.
He's trying to distract us. So this message is so long this morning that I'm dividing it up. So I'll give you the first half this morning and the second half this afternoon. I hope you stay. Because what I have this afternoon is what started the whole message. The whole thought, the whole burden. But before we can go any farther, I believe the Lord is wanting us to consider his divine promises. So I'm going to just read you a bunch of promises. Let's stand on the promises. You know the word of the Lord is sure. The word of the Lord does not fail. It does not change because God does not change. It is eternally set. And you know what? I couldn't give you all of the promises today. I would probably put you to sleep. Because there's so many promises. I challenge you to get your Bible and start studying and seeing what the promises are. Promises that you can stand on. Promises that you can claim as yours in whatever place you are on the path of life. So I have seemingly been inspired by some of these. Number one, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do we believe it? Do you use it in prayer? When you're praying, do you say it? Lord, you said. You know it's important for us. It's not that God has to be reminded. He wants to know that we know it and we love to repeat it. The word of the Lord is so important to claim and use in your prayers. So when you're praying and you're in a hard place, you can say, Lord, you said you will never leave me nor forsake me.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord. It's a promise.
Yes.
Another promise. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able? Have you ever been in such a hard place that you said, this is almost too hard for me to bear? I have. Lord, this is almost harder than what I can bear. And then I think of this scripture. But Lord, you said that you would not suffer me to be tempted above that I am able. Make it personal. Make the promises personal for you. But you would, with the temptation, you would make a way for escape. That I can bear it. Thank the Lord. How many times has God done that? Oh, in the middle of it, you don't see it and you don't feel it. But as you wait and as you endure, there is a way of escape. Our daughter, Teresa, she had a dream many years ago, and she called and told me about it, and she was even doubting this scripture because of this dream. And as some of us may have at times had nightmarish dreams, well, this was sort of a nightmare. There was something that was chasing her. She had two dreams. Something was after her, and she was running. She ran all the way to the coast, the Gulf Coast. And she said, "Now, where can I go?" And she looked down. Now, this didn't bother her, but the next one did. She looked down, and the bottom of the ocean came up, and she kept on going in her dream. That's a way of escape. God's going to make a way for you to escape. The second dream was similar, and she was hunting for a hiding place. And she found a hole the size of an orange. And she woke up. Well, how could I fit in the size of an orange? I said, "Teresa, that is a wonderful dream." I said, "When Christian and Hopeful were in the dungeon and they finally discovered the key of hope and promise, the key grew to fit the lock, or it shrunk to fit the lock, whatever the need is. You could fit in that hole the size of an orange. That's your escape." God will make a way for us to escape. We have to wait. We have to allow Him to design it to fit. So you and I can bear some things through Him. The next verse is a portion of a verse. "According to all He hath promised, there hath not failed one word of all of His good promises." Believe it. Claim it. Tell the Lord, "Lord, You said in Your word that no promise has ever failed." Oh, the Lord will stand by His promises. Another one is, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." What if we didn't have the ending of that verse? What if that's all it was? Oh, would you feel hopeful? The message last Sunday was on hope. "Oh, many are the afflictions. Woe be me. I have only afflictions." But we finished the verse, "But the Lord delivereth out of them all." It's a promise. Well, Lord, what about the one that died? He still was delivered. Thank the Lord. Oh, there's so many. Okay, here's another one. "Weeping may endure for a night." And I put in here "for a season." We may go through something hard that we can't help but weep. You know, tears weren't in the garden, but tears and weeping were after. It's in this world. Tears are good for us. Did you know that scientifically and physically, the shedding of tears releases something in our body? I read about it, but I didn't understand it, so I'm not going to try to give it to you. tears are a blessing. Oh, maybe not the reason for the tears, but God formed and created our bodies to have a release of something. Stress, pressures, whatever it is, but God releases something. So weeping may endure for a night or a season. And what if that was all there was to it? God is so good to give us the balance of everything. But he says, joy cometh in the morning. You have something to look forward to. When you're under pressure and stress and sorrow and tears, or you've got the tears for a season, but there's coming joy. He's got something to replace that heartache. Another scripture. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's just for a little while. How can you say that? I've heard of this one that has suffered 20 years. In light of eternity, 20 years is but a moment. And so the word of the Lord is still true. Our light affliction, but this is a hard affliction. This is a hard place. I'm tempted to say it's too hard. Take another look. Is God helping you with that? Is he carrying you? We had the lesson this morning in Sunday school about the footprints in the snow and Jesus following his footprints. I want to tell you, he has footprints everywhere. And somebody got a vision of that. And they saw two sets of footprints going on the shore in the sand. And then there's only one set of footprints. And this person thought, I'm walking alone. And the ending of that person that wrote that, that was inspired by that, they said, no. He is carrying you. That's his footprints. That's not yours. He's got you in his arms. Thank the Lord. So a light affliction, look on it as God helping bear the affliction with you, because he promised. He said in his word that he would bear our afflictions in his own body. And it doesn't necessarily mean sickness, although it means that too. But afflictions can be anything that is heartbreaking and distressing. He wants to bear it with us. So our light affliction, which is but for a moment or a little while, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God's wanting his glory to shine in our troubles. But he also wants it to shine in you and cause your life to show forth glory, his glory. Another one. And we know all things work together. Boy, this one should really be in our hearts. Everything. Don't we quote it? Lord, you said, this thing will work for my good. Yes. Quote the word of the Lord to him. It's not that he has to be reminded. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his plan or his purpose. Thank the Lord. Another one, so important. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. My grace is sufficient for thee. I want to tell you, God's grace is sufficient for whatever we face. When he said in his word that where sin doth abound. My grace doth much more abound. Well, we can claim it for our trials and our tests and those places that we need grace to be a glory to Him. So Paul wrote this and he said, my grace, he said, the Lord said it. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect. And this is how I like to read it, in your weakness. It doesn't put any pronoun in there, but I want my name in there. Because when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul said. Okay, I have two more, and then that's our message for this morning. Isaiah 43 and 2, and I think I've used this in one of the other messages also, but I never get tired of this one. And we have a songwriter who has written a song that has very similar words. And the Lord wants to use some of those words to inspire us in whatever we are passing through in our path of life. I believe that song was, How Firm a Foundation. And it speaks about this verse. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Oh, there's a lot that could be said about that. The three Hebrew children in the furnace, willing to die and to burn up, willing to go through the fire. But there was a fourth man in the fire. And there will be someone with you that you will not burn. You can pass through the waters. They will not overflow you. Thank the Lord. Our last verse is Revelations 21 and 4, and I just felt like we had to insert this one. You might not look at it as a promise, but it is. It's a promise of what heaven will be. Heaven will be everything that is not here normally. Heaven will be greater than we can imagine. I passed through a little place this last week. I guess I'll share it with you. I saw a picture of Lauren. And absolutely, it just awakened my memories. I knew what he felt like. I knew, you see, when I would often just sit in the car while he's driving and I'm looking over at him, I memorized every detail of his profile. And sometimes I would take my finger and go on his profile. I knew what that felt like. I knew what his hands felt like. I knew what it felt like, the muscles in his arms and in his back. And it was as though I could just touch him. And all of a sudden, I thought what the scripture spoke about no marriage in heaven, and I'm saying, well, was it only for this earth? And so what will he be in heaven? He won't be my husband. I wept and wept and wept. It was discouraging. So I texted somebody that's been there, Sister Sherry. She took a while to answer, but she answered a very wise answer. She said, what you had felt for him in this life is going to be multiplied many times in the next life for everyone. It's not going to be limited just to your husband. What love that we can look forward to in heaven. Not only from me to someone else, but love will be supreme in heaven. We think we know a little bit about love here. Just wait till you get there. So this scripture says, God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain. No sickness. You know, someone had a little dream of Lauren, and it was here in the building, and he was sort of at the back, but she said it seemed as though he was looking for me. But what impressed her the most was he looked so young. You know, nobody grows old in heaven. We're going to be at our prime time of life physically. You know, all you have to do is look at a few pictures of Lauren and me when we got married, and then look at a picture near the end of his life. We're old. We don't look like that youthful person that we once looked like. But in heaven, we will be young again. Isn't that wonderful? Would you want to miss it? Well, God wants to lead you on a path of life. He wants to take us all to his wonderful heaven, where it says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard what he hath prepared for those that love him. Why would we jeopardize such a eternal home? He's giving us opportunity right here to be ready. So thank the Lord.